Okay, 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 is where we're at this morning. I'm going to go back. I'm going to do a little 22 because I sort of blew through that last week. Didn't get the last second half of that verse. But here's a review from last week, 19 through 21, review of 1 John 3, 19 through 21. 19, we will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. As a review, what we found out last week is, so if our heart is condemning us, we confess our sins according to 1 John 1:9. Then we can be absolutely confident that our sins are put away, forgiven forever, and put away by the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we can, he put it away, we can put it away. However, if something maintains a foothold in guilt or shame or something like that, which unsettles our heart, our cardia is the Greek word, God's grace is greater. His mercy is greater. Love is greater. His forgiveness is greater. All of his essence is greater. His omniscience, he knows all things. He's greater than all that condemns us. Is what that verse in 19 says, or in 20, I'm sorry, in whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. This gives us an assurance, and assurance is the absolute certainty in the reality of his greatness and infinite character. And this is promised, this has been promised to give us peace and rest and tranquility and calmness of heart. The Wiest, some of those people he quotes uses that word tranquility. I like that. Calmness of heart. We are resting in his essence, who and what he is, right? And it's a substantive reality. If you're not in this, in the reality of his essence, as Roy Smith says, to the effect of you are living in unreality, because the reality, God's essence and his things are reality. If you are under condemnation of your heart and troubled, that's sort of an unreal situation. When a thought that a sin is too grave for God to forgive, and we are troubled by sins that we have indeed confessed, or unsettled about anything regarding our standing before him, our thoughts must take on these truths and be comforted by the truths in Scripture. And some of those are, let not your heart be troubled, be anxious for nothing. The peace that comes from God guards our hearts and minds, keeps our hearts and also our mentality and frame of reference in Christ Jesus, from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and John 14, 1. And especially, to wrap this review up, this is probably my favorite verse in all of Scripture, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I remember 19 years ago, I was in a bad place, and my heart was heavy. I was out of confession. I hadn't, I was aware, just out of it for maybe three years, I don't know. But I was just about a nervous wreck, having a nervous breakdown. I came to this verse, and boy, when I read it, it all melted away. Just, and it was like, whoa, that was it. And so it was one, this is a wonderful verse if you ever find yourself in that situation. John, 1 John 3:22 through 24 are verses for today, actually 23 and 24, but I'll start with 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So a little, here's the part of verse 22 from last week that I want to touch on again. So a second review, a review upon a review, I guess you'd say. Verse 22 is really where it's the prayer. Prayer is the subject there. From last week's lesson, we learned that prayer is asking. Another word for that is prayer is petitioning or requesting. And I think there's, Merriman said there's 7 words for prayer. So there's 1, 2, 3. There's 4 of them. I don't know what the other 3 are, but that's what you're doing, actually, is asking. So we are praying, asking, but we need to be confessed of sins. That's a requirement. 1 John 1:9 for effective prayer, abiding in Christ from John 15:4-7. When you pray, abiding in the word keeps you in the will of God when you pray. 1 John 2:14 and Colossians 3:16. Now, a critical thing is according to his will, but we have to jump forward to 1 John 5, so we won't get there. So we gotta jump there, but we'll learn more about that when we get there, because that's a hard thing to study, right? To know what is his will. That's the million.
Well, also be able to accept his will.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, right. That's the $1.365 billion question from the lottery. That just someone claimed that. And boy, with all that money, he'll find out what the will of God is, I guess. Huh? Merriman brings up this. He was speaking on these verses, and he said that 1 Peter 3:7, harmony and tranquility in the home is important, because that section says husband and wife, especially to the husband, that your prayers won't be hindered. So effective prayer is harmony and tranquility in the home. That is critical too. So result is doing things that are pleasing in his sight. And pleasing in the sight is aligning our viewpoint with his divine viewpoint, aligning our interests with his interests and his desires. And then we can ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and he'll answer us. And it might not be affirmative, but Merriman was saying there's two types how he answers prayer. Is the specific request can be yes, or it can be no. But then there's the desire behind the request. So the specific request, and then what your heart so the underlying desire. He might answer no on the request, but the desire he might be affirmative on, like Paul, where he asked for that thorn in the side to be removed 3 times. And that was a negative no, but God honored his desire, because Paul said, boy, if you can remove that, I can bring glory to you. I can really do this missionary and an evangelistic job really well to glorify you. But God glorified him in that anyway. And he found that out and he said, I wouldn't remove it now because, you know, what does he say? My strength is, my weakness is.
Well, he said, actually, like, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Yeah, right. There you go.
That's really important.
So those two things, specific request and the desire behind the request. So here's a little note. See how I have these in verse 22. I've highlighted or bolded the verbs. We ask, we receive, we keep, we do the things that are pleasing in sight. So just remember why those are bolded. You'll need that for later. Yeah.
Andrew, I've noticed even in the Gospels, I'm going through the Gospels.
Okay.
You know, and Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not a matter of us willing ourselves to keep his commandments. What we need to concentrate on is loving God. And he says it in verse 23 again. Says Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a matter of our effort in keeping his word or obeying. We just need to love him.
Yeah.
We will. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Right. And that's good.
I know. It's not our effort.
Yeah. And I don't use it often, the obedience, because then you think, okay, I'm obeying, obedient to what he says, but loving, it'll just, I think I'll get to this later in the lesson, but it's gonna happen.
It'll just be automatic.
Yeah, and because there's something working in you, right? The life.
You have the love of Christ in us.
Yeah.
So the love of Christ is, he's going to manifest obedience.
And he himself is in us. Yeah, and that's our, I just found out our topic today, union with Christ. I said, oh, that's the, I didn't know that until like yesterday afternoon. I didn't check what the title is today, but that's true. Okay, so this is his commandment. This is verse 23 and 24. This is his commandment. One, that we love, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And two, that we love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. We know this by this, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. 23 and 24, verses 23 and 24. And I put those numbers in there. Those don't occur in the text, obviously. Maybe in the Textus Receptus. I don't know.
Okay.
Who knows? So that we believe, this first part of the command is pistuo. We put our faith in, have confidence in, absolute certainty in, entrust ourselves in the name of in his son, Jesus Christ, is what the verse says. The name, his son, Jesus Christ, carries authority, and authority is, I thought of it, and I thought, well, it encompasses deity and supremacy. His name has authority. His name is trustworthy, and all that his name represents, his essence. He is sovereign. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. That's the authority of his name, and we ask in that and for answered prayer. And two, that we love, that's the other part of this commandment, agapao, the way we love is agape love. It's loving one another with a divinely sourced love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And we've learned that many times now, because how many times does John mention this in these these epistles many times. So we can move on from that. So here is a, here's the work. I'm going to show my work this morning. This is how I'm going to show my work. Well, we're not going to go over all these, but up on the screen, there's in these verses 22, 23 and 24, there's, I was going to go down like I usually do and go through these verbs and the phrases, but there's 12. There's 12 verbs in these three verses. It's just huge. You know, so how can you cover all those? So I just listed them, and you see they're, it's divided up into the red, blue, and green. The red is verse 22. The blue is verse 23. The verbs that are in green are verse 24. And that's what just the takeaway from this this little worksheet here. There's so many verbs, 12. So we can come back to that. But what the main point, the main takeaway from these 12 verses, verbs, 12 verbs in these, you know, 23 verses is here are the main takeaways. There are no imperative commands, which is interesting.
That is good.
8 of the 12 are active voice indicatives, and they're not imperatives. So there's no command mode going on in these verbs. Instead, they are verbs given as realities of fact. It's not do this, but the it carries the indicative, it carries the thought of as you are doing this, or you are doing this, as you go on doing this. 3 are subjunctive mood verbs, which just means we may or may not do something. And those relate to ask, believe, and love.
Isn't it interesting that those are the three, the ask, because we may not ask, we may not love. That's,
right. That's really, and we have, really we have some agency in this because they're active voice. So the main thing is 9 of 12, which is anyone good at math? I think that's 75% perhaps.
Yeah.
Are in the present tense active voice. And so we are continually doing these actions in the here and now, active voice. We are doing it. Weist always says, has this word habitually, but I don't know. Roger, do you like that or?
You know, some people, I don't know.
Because I think of a habit as something that I practice and it becomes a habit. So then once it's a habit, and put in 10,000 hours, then it's just natural. So that's what I think about habits, right? So I don't like habitually. I like continually. Yeah. So durative action goes on and on. So, and 2 of the 12 are in the aorist tense. And that one of those things is relating to what Jesus commanded us at one time in the past, one particular point time in the past. He commanded us to love. And then the other aorist is that we believe, without reference to, you know, just no reference to past, present, or future. So there's the, there's in a nutshell, all the verbs. So.
Can we go back to them? Or
oh yeah, yeah.
Forward to them? Yeah.
It's, chock full of nuts, chock full of verbs. Or, I was thinking of, right. Or what's that cereal, the two scoops of raisins in Raisin Bran? You know, they say, boy, this Raisin Bran. So these are two big scoops of verbs. So yeah, there they all are again. We went back to that slide. And the other thing about these verbs is this present active indicative that verb mode is, that says that this is going on right now and it's lively. It's, it's, the life of the Holy Spirit is, as, Jim will say, is percolating, right? It's happening. It's right now. It's not dead. It's not in the past. Cause I was like, wow, this stuff is going on right now. And so these words, his word, the Bible is, active and alive.
Right now.
Right. And it's, yeah. And I just had the thought of, percolating, or when you put in something and it's fizzing. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So whereas if it was in the aorist tense, it would be sort of more, a little more, it could be dead, not dead, but you know what I mean? So I was trying to get to that. It's very interesting that, and there's a verse, I just thought of it. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. So, and there you see it with 12 verbs in three verses, all in the present tense active voice. It's really quite amazing. So Roger, are you done looking? Or is it so beautiful? You
no,
want
to, I think it's great.
Look at that. So yeah, if you're listening on the internet and you don't see the slides, you're missing out on it's like 4th of July.
It is.
There,
huh? It is.
So it's just a list of the 12 verbs that you can write out yourself. So there we go. No imperatives. So, oh yeah, Roy, did you have something?
Or just that you have described, I believe, very well from Scripture. This is God's reality. This is what's really real. Is that He is going on right now? You and I have the Holy Spirit in us. That's what's real. Being expressed here.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that several times, Roy, and now it's sunk in, and I've internalized that exact phrase, and I like what you said, and I've even quoted you in that, and that's true.
And one of the things about the unreality is it's false. It's like, it's imaginary, it's what we make up. It's not real, it's not what's really true.
Right. And when you look at it, things of the world are
imaginary.
they're not God's reality. I wish I had done that. I had this, did I send it to you, Roger?
Yes, you did that.
Cosmos, definition of the cosmos or the world by Schaefer. Very good. I should have put that in, but yeah. And when you look down that list of what the world is, it's
unreal.
Unreal. It's unreality.
And today, boy, we can see that so clearly. I mean, it's just.
Because it's governments, it's, social structures, it's all these things, culture. So is that, it's real, but it's per God's word.
It's real. It's real to mankind.
Real to mankind. Real to the natural self.
Right. But the thing is, we're now heavenly creatures. We've changed addresses, right?
Yeah.
We're no longer.
And so when this world wraps up, and where's that stuff going to go? Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, yeah. I bet my dad isn't worried about some mortgage or
COVID,
how I'm treating his car.
Politics.
I bet when you're in heaven, you have this fuzzy kind of remembrance of your life. And it's sort of like remembering back to, I just think about that a lot. Or remembering high school, right? It's when you're in high school, it's alive and wow. But now you kind of, it's fuzzy, right? It's like a dream. Yeah. So I don't know.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just adding to your thoughts there. Keep in mind that God's reality includes the physical, doesn't exclude it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Israel is part of His reality, and this world is part of His reality. When He created Adam and Eve, He said, you're going to rule and reign. You're going to be kings. First king and queen was Adam and Eve, and that's what He's going to set up, is a kingship here on earth with Him, and David is co-ruler with Him. And then there's a new heaven and a new earth where everything is perfect. I mean, God has that in mind, to include the immaterial with the material. We think separately, but God's got that all in harmony. I don't know how.
Yeah, and then in the future, at the end of the age, he'll merge the two, the physical and the spiritual, into one thing under God, right?
Right, you got it.
It's amazing.
It's really hard to, we like to compartmentalize everything. We like to make it separate.
Yeah, right. And it won't be, I like to I'm guilty as charged. I do that a lot, compartmentalize things, but
everything is really, his reality encompasses everything. And, you know, right now I'm talking to you through an electronics means, okay? It's going through this ethereal thing we call the internet.
Yeah.
And you're talking to us through that internet here in our house. But it's all part of his reality. It's all real. At this moment.
Wow. Yeah, it's a little eschatology there for us. We discussion. That's great. Thanks.
The magnitude of God is so great. I think sometimes we overlook that. You gave it, I think, a great thing there where you know that. His nature, what is his nature? His reputation, who he really is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's good, Roy. Thanks. All right, back to the verbs, or the commands, or the verbs. There's no imperative commands, and why is that? That's the question that came up in my mind, so I just put down some observations. I would say Paul would use a lot of imperative commands, you know, do this in the imperative, but John does not. And then I thought, well, I think I figured it out, and here's what I found. The commands, there were commands, imperative commands. They were given by the Lord himself. Abide in me and love one another, from the Gospel of John. John 13:34, 15:12, 15:17. The Lord Jesus Christ at one time put down these commands. So they abide and they go on, and John is remembering them. He's restating them here in his letter and amplifying those commands that Jesus himself at one time stated in during the time of the gospel, in order that we see the union with Christ that we have, and in order for us to see what abiding in him looks like in a present regenerated life. And here you go, Roy, again, as you often say. Roy brings up this point often, and this is a good point. When John is writing to these believers that he's writing to, they know these things. They've heard it before, and probably for years, because John spent time probably teaching these people all the things in the Gospel of John. And all the things. So they knew it, and they knew it well. And that's why he's so concise, and, you know, Paul explains things a lot in detail, but John just compact, and he moves from one thing to the other. So we know it today, as well. Here's the verse 220 that we covered a few weeks ago. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Another one from 1 John 2:3. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. And from 3:19, we will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our hearts before him. the one that we covered last week. And there's several other we knows in this, First John. It's just, so that's one of the main points, and Roy, brings it up a lot, and that's a great point. Merriman says that these verses are describing the, are manifesting regeneration. This is what regeneration looks like in our lives. To our discussion earlier, and what Jim was saying, this is, the Holy Spirit doing His work in us, right? It's the proofs of being born again, or being a born again one.
Andrew.
Yeah.
I think it was David Roxer. It says.
Oh yeah.
Dennis Roxer.
From Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota. He says in his book that John assumes a lot of stuff that they know.
Yeah.
But he's not explaining to us.
Right.
So, there's, I forget.
And what does he call it?
He calls it,
ubiquitous shorthand.
That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
That's
it. So he uses shorthand.
Yeah,
and it's all over.
He's telling them what they already know.
Exactly.
You know, and, they already know this, so yeah. They know what he's talking about. We don't. Paul was more explicit.
Yeah. Well, look at Romans, right?
Yeah.
It starts from the beginning, and then he develops it, and Romans is the whole thing laid out very clear.
Yeah. John doesn't do that. John is, he's apparently taught these people a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
Already.
And plus it could be that John writes from a Jewish kind of mindset perspective, and Paul's from a Greek, and the difference is one's logical and one's more illustrative maybe.
But that's the challenge
poetic,
that we have
maybe.
Is to figure out what John is actually trying to say.
Yeah.
Just figure out, you know, his ubiquitous shorthand and put that in there.
Yeah. And what I found is you might not know what he's saying, but somewhere else in the letter he describes it perfectly, so you got to go and grab it from somewhere else,
yes.
And then you say, "Oh, so that's the shorthand."
Yeah.
He doesn't explain it right here in this verse. You got to go to chapter 5, and then you'll state it, and you just cut that in and paste it in where you are, and you have it.
So expand and explain.
Yeah. Right. So yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, I was.
Well, I'm going to assign Andrew that task.
All right. So here's another illustrative just chart, not a chart, but just the words from the Gospel of John, 15:7-17. If you abide in me, and my works abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And I won't read the whole thing through verse 17, but I've highlighted or bolded out how it's correlating to this John's first epistle. So I've the phrase is "ask whatever you wish." That's John re-amplifying that here in the First John. And here's a purpose. By this, my Father is glorified. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That your joy may be made full. And John had that exact phrase in chapter 1, right? This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. We've heard that many times. So that's something we know. And then at the end, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, there we go. That's what we're studying today. He may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. So this is, First John is really John, Gospel of John, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all sort of wrapped into one, especially 17 too, that union, right? with Christ. It's really amazing. So that's, I just wanted to put that up there because that helps, knowing where John's kind of plagiarizing himself, I thought, by, using his, but he wrote it.
I don't think you plagiarize yourself.
Yeah, I don't, you can't. That's what I was thinking. Can you plagiarize yourself? But yeah, he wrote that one, and it's a masterpiece, right? The Gospel of John that he, and then, but Revelation is totally different. Totally different. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Blank page. I'm gonna sum it up by this. I got into charts. I like illustrations and, I made this one up.
Okay.
It's, yeah, right. It's kind of cool. And this is all the things that these things are saying here. There we are. We're abiding in Christ. We're abiding in his love. We're abiding in his word. And what he says, we're in the light. We're abiding in the light. 1 John 2:10. And that overall, if we're in that place of abiding in the light, in his word, in his love, in Christ, we are in the scope of God's will. There you go. That's God's will. If you want to know God's will for your life, make sure you're abiding. So that when we pray, we ask in his name, we receive. That'll be a natural, principle that he gives us in scripture. It's from 1 John 3:22 and 1 John 5 verses 14 through 15. I was wondering with this illustration, you know, you have these concentric. Yeah, circles that are all in each other. Can you separate out these circles? Can you abide in Christ, but not abide in his love? His love is over here. The red circle is outside of that. I don't think so. I think this has to be all or nothing, right?
Yeah.
Either you're in or you're outside. So if you're outside, you're outside of God's will, and you're, you know, maybe in an unconfessed state or carnal, living carnally, and that's outside of God's will. So I think these all have to go together. And for being in God's will, I have those scripture references in the top right-hand corner. Yeah, John 9, Romans 12:2, Ephesians 6:6, Philippians 2:13, Colossians 4:12, and many from 1 Peter. He gives many being in God's will and that topic. But I think that's a, we'll have to see how this illustration, this chart stands the test of time. I don't know. Maybe someone will say, well, that's not, but that's, we'll start with that and see if it holds its value there. But it's kind of neat, I thought. Then I did one more illustration because I was in the mood. And to end, so how do we get there? It's we behold him, Christ, through his word. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And if we live that verse, we're doing a good thing, right? In our Christian life. This verse from Matthew chapter 6, 22 through 23, this never made sense to me. It's that Christ spoke. If the eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is in darkness, how great is the darkness? And then I was reading something from Darby, I guess, and he mentioned this verse in relation to God's will, and it really goes well with 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because if you're beholding Christ through the Word of God, that's light. You're taking in all of His glory, all of His light. So the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body, your whole life will be full of light by beholding Him in His Word. That's an interesting, I will have to see if that too stands the test of time, that correlation, but, at least for this week, I think it's a good one. So there you go. Okay. Yeah. We'll close in prayer then. Next screen is a blank screen, so I must be done. I'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and Your living and powerful Word, and we thank You that You gave us all of Your thoughts and all of Your ways in everything, and that's in Scripture. And we pray that we just take it in and live by it. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Isn't it a privilege that we can have the freedom to open God's Word? And that the Holy Spirit applies it to us as individuals. Man, what a privilege.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And even corporately, right? The body of Christ here.
Right.
That's it's really amazing.
Hey, Sue. Hey, Lem. We love you.
Love you too.
Oh, yeah. There they are.